podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
Well, welcome again. And this past couple weeks, we've been talking through this series called Throwback, which was a series about the signs and wonders that Jesus performed throughout the book of John. Well, this week, we're going to be in Acts and talking about the church and how it began. And I've titled this sermon, Better Together. Oh, look at those awesome people. If you are like me and you were graduated hypothetically around 2003, or you just like the summer, maybe when you look at this, you think, Better Together? Is that a song by Jack Johnson, maybe, something like that? I wonder what that sounds like. Let's see if we can listen up.
Is better when we're together.
Oh yeah, a little throwback for me.
Yeah, we'll look at them stars and we're together.
I feel like I should have my longboard.
Yeah, better when we're together.
Sorry, I'm not Jack Johnson. I know, and we're not having a concert today. I know some of you are really bummed by that. Some of you are like, thank goodness we're not. Either way, so today we're going to be talking about the church together is what we're going to be doing. And I've got a question for you to kind of kick us off. What do you think people in the U.S. typically think of when they think of the word church? I've got three options for you. The first one is a picture of our church building a little bit ago. There was snow on the ground. Yes, that happened in November, in case you forgot. So maybe they think of a church building like ours, or there's many others. Or maybe they think of number two, and that's going to be this is our baptism service from this summer. If you weren't there, that's what it looks like. Or there's a lot of other services, but maybe they think of a weekend service. And maybe it's number three. And number three is, this is actually a picture of a small group, and it's just to represent the people. All right, so this is where you get to participate. You get one vote, all right? None of you cheaters out there that want to vote three times or you can't decide. You got to pick one. I need everybody to participate. Here we go. Who's in for number one? Who thinks when people think of the church, they think of the building? Raise your hand if you are number one. Okay? Raise your hand if you think of, people think typically of the weekend service. Number two. Seeing some more hands. Okay. And the last one, who thinks that people typically think of number three, the people. We are about pretty much evenly split. You know what? There actually was not a study that I could find that told me the answer to this. I know, it's surprising. But the studies that I did find, they all pointed towards going to church, which led me to believe more that when people think of church, they typically think of a building or a service. In reality, it is all these, but ultimately, it is us. It's me, and it's you, and it's the people next to you. We are the church. And that's what we're talking about today. So, if you can do me a favor, if you can open your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible, there's actually Bibles under the seats in front of you, unless somebody took it in this service before you. But there should be a Bible in the seat under the seat in front of you, and that's actually a gift. If you don't have a Bible, we want to bless you with that. Take that. That is yours. Otherwise, go ahead and open it up on your device as well. We're going to go to Acts 2, 41 through 47. Now, before we read these verses, and as you turn, I want to give you a little bit of a backdrop to give us a picture of what happened to get us to what we're going to talk about today, the church. So, Jesus has already died and resurrected, and he already has sent his closest friends, these are called disciples, his apostles, people that followed him, studied with him, learned about who Jesus is and what he's done. He sent them and said, go and make disciples. I'm going to pause here for a second because this is crazy, right? Jesus has been running this campaign, if you will, where he has been sharing about himself and about who his Father is, who God is. He's been talking about, this is who I am, I am the way. And now he goes, here you go, disciples. Your job is to go ahead and take this and share it with everybody else. He drops it off into their hands, and now it's their responsibility to carry on. It's our responsibility to carry on. So right before this, then what happens is the apostles are gathered together for a Jewish holiday, and the Holy Spirit comes down and rests on them like fire and empowers them to speak in mighty ways about the mighty things that God has done in different tongues, so that everybody around, because there's a bunch of people there that didn't speak Jewish, is that the right word? They didn't speak the same language, right? They spoke a bunch of different languages, and so they empowered them to be able to speak and to share about the mighty works of God with all these people at the same time. And they were like, oh. And then other people were like, all right, these are a bunch of drunk guys. Come on. And Peter steps into this. It's literally right afterwards, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to tell you about this, and I'm going to explain to you. They're not drunk. This is Jesus. And he talks to them about who Jesus is, what he has done, and then he slips in a little zinger at the end. Oh, by the way, you killed him. And they're like, oh. You could feel the air come out. And that's where we're left at. Right before this, that's what's happened. Now, for those of you that maybe don't know the whole story, and that's fine, I'm going to just take a minute here and share to you the story of Jesus and how we got to him and why we need him. So we're going to go right back to the beginning. God created everything. He created the earth and everything in it. He created man and woman in his image. Then our original parents, Adam and Eve, they rebelled against God. And that rebellion, also called sin, was ushered into the world, brought in. And we participate with them as their descendants in this sin. And so God rightly can deal with us and give us his wrath and ultimately separate us from him forever. Now, I know some of you have heard this before, but think about that for a second. God can give us his wrath, and he can separate us from him forever. This is huge. And if it stops here, that's the end, right? But he doesn't. God does not. He does not leave us to ourselves. He loves us so much, he sent his Son, the Son of God, to come here to become Jesus Christ. And Jesus lived a perfect life, a life we couldn't live. And he died the death that we deserve. And he lay in the tomb for 3 days, and after 3 days, he rose, and he defeated death. Exactly. Amen. He defeated death. This is the God we serve. Okay? And the response to this is repentance and faith. Repentance is turning from your old life, and faith is trusting in Jesus, the one who saves us. All right, so if you can turn with me then, we're going to go to Acts 2:41. So in Acts 2:41, right before I talk about this, just so you know, so this is, think about what I just talked about with Jesus coming from creation all the way to what he did for us and offering us ultimately this opportunity to be in harmony with God again. Perfect harmony and perfect harmony with each other. This is what they just heard. And then we have this response. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So up until this point, they had about just over 100 people that were part of the church. And now there are 3,000 and a couple hundred. Something happened here that was huge. I mean, that sermon, holy, I mean, it seems like a kind of odd way to get people to all of a sudden start believing. And you talk about you killed Jesus, but Jesus offers you life. But he said it, and God moved. He shook it. He shook the people and changed their minds and brought them in. And that's what we need, is we need Jesus to move. But it was compelling, and that was awesome. 3,000 people. So parts that I like here, too, it says that they received his word, and they were baptized. I'm not sure if you know how we do baptism here, so I want to show you a picture about baptism. This is one of the people that was baptized this summer in the river right behind our church, the church building here. So you see she's standing up in the water, And this is actually, it's a symbol for you. So I'm going to go through the three-part symbol here. The first part is her standing up, and this is a symbol of her life before knowing Jesus, her life in rebellion. She gets dunked in the water. Some of you are like, dunked? This is not like you're in the water when a kid and you're playing with your brother and you're blah, blah, blah. It's not that kind of, you go down and you come right back up. It's quick, okay? So you're standing up, you go down in the water, you are dunked in the water, and this is a symbol of the death that Jesus died and our death to this old way of life. And you're raised back up in the new life. So it's actually common to be said when you are brought down in the water that you were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You were buried in the likeness of his death, and you were raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That's what I think of when we think of baptism. And so today, maybe this sermon for you could just stop right here. 8 minutes in, and maybe this is where God is speaking to you today. Maybe you're here today, and you have not yet chosen to call Jesus your Lord and Savior. Maybe it's time for that for you. And maybe you haven't been baptized. If you look, actually, a couple of verses before this, in verse 38 in Acts, Peter actually says, as a command, repent and be baptized. If you haven't been baptized yet, maybe God's talking to you today. What are you waiting for? Come be a part of this church and take the next step. Maybe that's your next step, is being baptized. I challenge you, if you are thinking that, don't wait. Do it today. Come see myself afterwards, see any of the other pastors, the elders, come talk to your small group. But don't wait on this. All right, let's go on to verse 42. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So he gives us four different things here, and this isn't like a prescription or a recipe, like this is what you must do. These are the four things. They're simple, and it's beautiful, the things that they do, and there's something we can take from this. So the four are the apostles' teaching. Now, this is actually the teachings Jesus taught, and then also things that they learned. So they're going to take Jesus' teachings, he's going to share them on, and they're going to share the things that they have learned as a part of being a follower of Jesus. Now, if you're like me, these are the people that I'm going to want to hear from, right? Like, just had the fire rest on, and they're speaking in other languages. They saw Jesus do all these miracles. Like, yeah, I need that. I'm going to need that to be a part of my life. And for myself, actually, one of the things I like to do is I like to go back through the Gospels, which is going to be Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, on a regular basis to remind myself of what Jesus has done for us, to keep it fresh in my mind. Number two is fellowship. And that's a big word for saying just being together. It's our community. It's pretty much straightforward what it is. They wanted to be together. The third one, breaking bread. I'm going to go into this a little bit more in detail in a couple minutes, but this ultimately is just talking about meals. They ate together. You're noticing a trend, together. The last one is prayers. And for them, the word, when they talked about prayers, they were still Jewish. Like, they still were a part of this people group. And so prayers for them was not just when Pastor Justin was just up here and he prays, or when we have one of our worship leaders pray up here. This is a thing that they would do every day. They had it in their temple. They would have specific times, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The word I want you to notice here, and I left it not highlighted, kind of intentionally, is devoted. Like, sometimes we skip over the word devoted. This is the way they did it. It wasn't like maybe today I'll do this, or once in a while, that might be a good idea. This is like, if you're devoted to something, you are all in for that thing. This is what your life is about. Later on, we'll see somebody else that's a little bit devoted to something. So I want you to think of that word as you think through throughout the rest of this sermon. Let's go to verse 43. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. This awe that I see here, it comes right before the wonders and signs. Now, they may have already seen some wonders and signs, seen the fire come and rest. They may have seen Jesus do a miracle. But either way, they have this awe, and that's the right response. The right response to the community, the church that they've created, and the right response to what Jesus has done. And many signs and wonders, many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And this is, Jesus had empowered them to go and do these signs and wonders through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit empowered them to do that. And they did, and they kept on, and people were amazed and kept on coming. Let's go to verse 44 and 45. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Now, the first word that sometimes trips people up is when you get down to the end of verse 44 and it says, had all things in common. Sometimes we think, communism? That's not what we're talking about. It's not communism. This is not even a push to say be a communist. It's nothing to do with that. This is talking about being together and being as one family. So what they would do is they believed and were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions. This is the part that gives you a picture. When they are selling their possessions, they didn't wait for their next paycheck or next week. They thought it so urgent and so necessary to care for the people that are part of their church and their community that they went out and sold their stuff right now. Maybe they got on Facebook Marketplace and they're like, hey. They didn't have Facebook Market, but you get the idea. They wanted to do it right now. It was urgent. It was necessary, and they were that passionate about it. This is important to them, and they were doing it as a group. They still had their things. They still had their houses and their own things, but they gave of it. It's their heart that is compelling in this devotion that we see again. All right, let's go to verse 46 and 47. And day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food. I'm going to stop there. It says day by day. This is not the U2 song, day by day. It's not what we're talking about here. But what we are talking about is day by day, they would go to the temple, and they had prayers at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. This was more than just, I'm going to be a part of the church on a weekend once, or maybe three times on the weekend. This was an everyday decision to go and be together in the temple, to pray together, to break bread. So it says here, they were attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food. And this is the part where we talk about a little bit of a conflict of opinion of different people. They look at breaking the bread, and they're like, is this communion? Where we talk about and have a meal together about what Jesus has done for us? Or is this that they're actually eating together? And I think it's probably both, to be honest with you. It's probably both. They're probably having communion. They're probably eating together because they were together. They're about that. And they had this right response afterwards. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. I notice in verse 47, the word favor. This is something, again, God has done. And God has moved in a way to give them, this church, favor with the people. And the people they're talking about, like this people in the room and people outside in the community. They had favor with the people, and God gave them that. And he gave it to them. And then what happens out of it? Though the Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved. This community was compelling. This story is compelling. When I think of Acts 2, the first thing that comes to my mind about this community and about the way that they cared for each other is a verse in John. Verse John 13, 34 through 35. I'm going to flip there real quick. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And this is what they did. They loved each other. And it's new. Maybe you're thinking, well, what is new about this? Didn't God already talk to us about loving our neighbor? He did. You are right. The newness is just as Jesus has loved you. The newness is Jesus gave us a picture of what love really looks like. So when you think about this, you think about Jesus' love, you think about his sacrifice, the things he went through up into his death on the cross, and then through it. I mean, he went through the gamut, and that's the kind of love that he wants us to have for each other. That's the commandment, to love each other that way. Again, when I think about this community, this is the community I want, right? I want to be in a community that loves this way. All right, so let's talk about here at Bridgeway. What does community look like here at Bridgeway? We've got two main things I'm going to talk about. You're doing one right now. This is what we like to call rows. You are together in rows. We're learning together. We're growing together. We're being challenged and singing to God together, right? We do another one. It's called small groups. We believe in small groups so much that we don't actually just have them for one group. We do them in our J seekers. We do them in our student ministries. And we do them for adults. These we call circles. Maybe you sit in a triangle or whatever shape you sit in. But I think of a circle when I think of a small group. And maybe you're not sure what a small group is. So let me just talk about that real quick. There's three main things that we are about for small groups here at Bridgeway, and they are God, life, and others. So what do we do for God? God is growing together from spiritually hungry people to fully devoted followers. So this is going to be a study of some sort. Maybe you're studying the Bible, or maybe it's another study that will bring you and move you from spiritually hungry to fully devoted. So groups are this. They are for the person that's just trying to figure it out, trying to figure out who Jesus is, to the person who is fully devoted. We love that, and that's what groups are designed for. Life, building life-giving relationships. This is the other part of it, where you take time each week and you talk about what's going on in your lives, where you care for each other. Others, this is another commandment that Jesus actually was challenged on. They're like, hey, so what's the greatest commandment? And he goes, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, which is two if you can count. So that's, he gave them two, more than just one. And that's what we want to be about. When Jesus commands these things, we take it seriously. So we want to love God and love others. That means loving the people in your group and outside. All right, so maybe you're also, you're wondering, how do I get into a small group at Bridgeway? We've got them coming up, actually. There's another group launch, group startup that's going to come in January. It's going to be January 26th here in the square. I'm going to talk more about this later, but I wanted to give it to you now. And if you are thinking about, you know, maybe I need to be in a group sooner, come and see me. I can help you figure that out as well. But these are when the new groups are going to start, so think about it for the new year. All right, so you're like, all right, Mike, whew, you've talked a long time about people. And I don't like them. I don't like people. I'm pretty good on my own. So I checked out about at the point that you said better together. Okay, fair enough. But this is what I want you to think about is that maybe there's something more. So before I get to there, though, I just want to throw out some other thoughts for you. I don't know if you guys know, but I've got another buddy of mine, a pastor friend of mine. He's doing this thing. It's called an Ironman. Pastor Ron is doing that, and he runs that by himself, right? That's all by himself. So if he can do an Ironman by himself, I should be able to do this thing called life by myself, right? Hang on, let's take a look at this. This is Ron, Pastor Ron. He's our senior pastor, looking very great. He shaved his beard. So if you know, me and Pastor Justin and Pastor Ron are doing a beard war, but apparently me and Justin are winning now. So there's that. Thanks, Ron. But anyway, so he's doing that today. That's where he's at. But maybe maybe you're not familiar with what an Ironman is. An Ironman, you swim for 2.4 miles. This one, you're going to bike for 112 miles. And then, oh, at the end of it, you do a marathon. Whew. All right, for those of you that have ever done one of these, I'm impressed, beyond impressed. But if you're like me, I can't even, it's too big for me. It's too big for me to grasp. I'm just going to focus on one of those aspects, which is a marathon, which I already think is crazy. So those of you who've done a marathon, thank you very much. And this mug says, if you don't run marathons, this is not your cup. Yeah, this is not my cup. I don't run marathons. But I would love to learn how you do them. So if you do run marathons, come and talk to me sometime. I'd love to hear how you do that. So let's entertain this thought real quick. First of all, I don't think anybody really goes, today is a nice day. I'll go out for a nice 26.2 mile jog. And they're like, I mean, no, you do a lot of planning and prep, I'm assuming. And if it's me, I want to go and learn from the person that does it best. And arguably, there is that person right now. Just within the past 2 months, they ran a marathon in 2 hours. Now, this person's name, hopefully I say it right, his name is Eliud Kipchoge. I'd like to meet him someday. I've never met him. But when you hear that, you're like, oh, 2 hours, is that good? Okay, so let me break it down for you. 26.2 miles, so that means he had to run 13.1 miles an hour. You're like, yeah, but we can run like 25, right? So that's half. Sounds like he's slacking. Okay, let me break it down for you one further. This 13.1 that he had to keep up means that he was running an average of 4 minutes and 35 second per mile pace. Whew. Personally, I'm hoping to still break into the fours. I'm still working on it. Not even close. That's insane. But then he does it not only just for 1 mile, he does it for 26.2 miles. Whew. This guy is crazy. All right, so let's see what Eliud actually did to do this. I want to show you a video here, and I want you to think of the question, just what do you notice? How did he do this? I'm going to kind of talk through as well. So let's see the video here. So Eliud is actually the guy in the white jersey in the middle there. And the first thing that I notice about them, other than they're running really fast, is that he's in a group. And this group of people is actually, they're not your average Joes. They didn't just come out that day to run. These are other Olympians, world champions, or marathoners themselves. And what they would do is they would trade in and out. So they didn't run the whole marathon with him. They would trade out, and then another person would come in to keep fresh legs. So maybe you see the green line on the street there. That green line's broadcasted by the car in front of it, maintaining the speed of 13.1 miles per hour the whole race. I'm like, I don't know about that driver, but I don't know if I can hold it that precise. They actually designed a car specific for that. It's an electric car. You can learn all about that if you want to, but this is another thing they had to plan for. I don't know if you're like me as well, but when I look at this, the part of the team that I want to be on is, wait for it, that one right there, the motorcyclist. Yep, I'll be him. But this is awesome, and I love that he is doing this like this. So this was a thing that he prepared with his team for quite some time, for a year. And over that year, there were weeks that they ran 140 miles a week, which is what I hope to get in my car a week. And they planned it, and they trained. He actually trained at 2,400 feet where he's from, and then they went and did it in an hour, which is an hour time zone difference, in Vienna. And that was at sea level. Now, he tried to do this over and over again, and he kept missing it. And I don't know if you noticed this, the time that you just saw in there, he ended up doing it with this team, 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds. That is incredible. Now, it makes me think of a verse, it's 1 Corinthians 9:24. Where he says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Elliot figured it out. He found his team, and he did it. So when we run this race of life, maybe that's what we need. Maybe you need a group. If you are already in a group, I challenge you just to be active, be real, and take on one new thing this week outside of your comfort zone. And if just to give you kind of a category to think in, think about those three categories, God, life, and others. Pick one of these to work on. So maybe it's this week when in the area of God. Maybe it's coming prepared to small group, reading what you need to beforehand. Or maybe it's chiming up in the discussion time. Maybe it's the life part. Maybe there's somebody that needs just a little extra attention where you can reach out, you can contact them. Or maybe it's the others. Maybe it's God's been tugging on your heart to care for somebody or to care for an organization. If you're not in a group, I challenge you to come be in one. Well, I challenge, before I get to this full challenge, I want, if the worship team can come up at this point, if you're not in a group, come and be in one. Be a pace setter and help set the pace for somebody else. Be a part of this. Be a part of a group. If you're thinking today and you're like, I heard everything you said. I just can't. I'm weighed down. I'm going through it. I'm dealing with a loss. I'm dealing with depression, anxiety, whatever we just talked about in these past couple of weeks. Maybe what you need is community. Maybe what you need is what God has designed us for. I challenge you just to start with a prayer. So would you bow with me and I'll pray. Father God, we thank you so much just for a chance again to be together, to be here to learn about you and your heart for us, for your heart for community. We thank you that we get this chance to be in harmony with you because of what your son did. And so God, I pray that if there are those today that are either thinking or have just made a recent decision to follow you, God, that you would just connect them. God, if there's those that are thinking about being baptized, that you would connect them. And God, for those of us that are already connected or those of us yet to be, I just pray that you would bring people together. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son and our reason for being here. In your name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.